In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
BT's out back on the fan. So we wanted to get to something with Daniel Jones here, BT, before we get back to the calls. Look, I know it's over for Daniel Jones, but he is going to sign somewhere else. And one thing that I did make a note yesterday, after watching Saquon Barkley go nuts, and I still believe it's the right move for the Giants. We're in agreement with that. However, it does sting a little bit more to see him having an MVP year with the Eagles, because he's the same player and it's just a different franchise and coach and scheme that's maximized. Like, Barkley's never been this good before. Never. He's had some good runs. He's had some good seasons, some decent games, some good weeks, whatever. He's never been an MVP level player when he was with the Giants. So this is maybe a credit to the Eagles, to Barkley as well, but also a bad look for the Giants. If Daniel Jones gets fixed by somebody else, I don't think it will, because I don't think Jones is any good, but imagine the optics of that if Jones got fixed by the next team he goes to.
All right, I know that that would be easy to lean into and, you know, rant and rave and, yeah, make Giant fans feel better. For me, that will not be the right route. I'll tell you why. Because, first of all, using the word fixed or the term fixed, like, if you take, like, maybe the Mets helped fix Sean Manaea.
Yeah.
You know, there's examples in other sports where, you know, guys...
Yankees do it a lot with the bullpen arms.
For sure. I don't think that they're fixing Saquon as much as they're finally saying, hey, buddy, we got talent everywhere. We got an offensive line for you. We got a quarterback who can run. We got multiple receivers. We got tight ends who could gas you down the seam. Have fun, brother. You know, there's going to be 3-4 holes for you everywhere you go. Go be you.
Right,
that's what I mean.
Right, but they built it the right way. They had the foundation in place, then brought in the running back.
And he just fit in. They didn't change it to fix his skill set.
Correct. The dope Dave Gettleman drafted Saquon Barkley number 2 before having an offensive line. Like, you can't be more idiotic than that. Anyway, you're right. Fix is not the right term with Barkley, certainly. But with
Unleash,
Jones.
Maybe a better way to unleash.
Mean, well, with Jones, I do think Jones is broken.
Hmm.
Jones' confidence has gotten worse. Like, he's not this bad a player. Even for me, somebody who's criticized him almost every step of the way, even I know he's not this, like, coming in the year, I didn't expect that from Daniel Jones. So when he goes somewhere else, change of scenery, maybe less pressure out of New York. Now, remember, too, the team's getting a good value because they're not paying him $40 million.
Correct.
But if Jones wins games and looks like a legitimate quarterback, it's going to be another bad look for the New York Giants organization.
And it would be on the list of many bad looks for a while now. I mean, let me ask you this. I mean, how many quarterbacks out there, I'll just say, let me say the last The last, I mean, I don't know the answer. I'm just trying to prove a point. So maybe the answer is actually not fitting my point, but I believe it is. The last 25 years, how many quarterbacks at the age of 27 with 70 career starts and a road playoff win are made available? And even if there's one or two, ain't many. Right. That's the point. And now you mix in, and this is very important, now he's cheap. Now he comes cheap because wherever he goes, whether it's the Vikings, whether it's the Ravens, whether it's the Raiders, some of the teams he's been loosely connected to, there's a few others we'll give him to you in a minute, they're not bringing him in as the sixth overall pick and the franchise quarterback or contract number two. Hey, you just got cut. We see some value. Here's $500,000, which is the league minimum.
Right. For the record, I don't care what Daniel Jones does elsewhere. Like, I'm rooting
for him, actually.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I'm saying, meaning as it pertains to the Giants, even with Saquon Barkley, that's great. Like, the right move for the Giants was to let him go. But it does make them look worse, not because they let him go, because of what he's doing with Philadelphia that he could never do here with the Giants. They couldn't maximize his abilities. That's what annoys me. Now, with Jones, this regime did maximize his abilities at least for 1 year. I'd be curious to see if there's anything beyond that in Jones' tank. Mm-hmm. Meaning, can he throw the football well enough and just wasn't getting it done in Brian Daboll's system for whatever? I don't know. It's still possible,
yep.
But I wouldn't necessarily get caught up in it. But it could speak to what the Giants have with Shane and Dable here.
Well, I don't think that Daniel Jones' renaissance is going to remotely resemble Saquon Barkley's renaissance. Right. No, so I'm with you on that. I'll tell you, I said the other day, and I don't know, I just gave you a couple teams. Ultimately, we'll find out soon where he's going to go. But he needs to be rewired. Right. I almost think what would be the worst thing for him is if he's dumped into a high-pressured situation now, whether it's as a, you know, backup to a high profile like Lamar or whomever.
Which it seems like he wants.
Josh. Yeah, he does seem to want that. True. But I think, for me, I would almost rather him go to a bad team and he gets to play and they're like, dude, just throw the football. Yeah. And with no repercussions. We've seen the film. We've seen the flea flicker in Germany. Had two guys wide open, 15 and 30 yards down the field. You are reluctant to throw the ball. You got to learn how to air it out again. And you can't learn how to air it out again when your team's playing for a Super Bowl because there's negative repercussions come with trying to recalibrate who he is. He needs a mental overhaul. He needs a mental reset.
Yeah, and it's interesting that he would want to go potentially be a backup somewhere as opposed to get a better opportunity. What's the latest list of names, Hoff? You have it up there for Jones?
I do. I
gave you the Vikings, right? You have them, right?
Vikings are one.
They're number one or just
they're
one?
They're just one of four. Okay. I have
the
one
Ravens.
Ravens are one as well, so that's two of them, yes.
Raiders. Niners.
Right. And then the Dolphins.
Dolphins,
okay.
I mean, the only thing about the Vikings, like, okay, so they were impressed by him a year ago because he played well against him in the playoffs here. Darnold's going to be a free agent. I mean, does he think he's going to go and become the starter?
I think he's just looking at at this year one-off, like the rest of the year where he wants to go.
No, I hear
Remember, Phil Simms said with us last week that anybody that gets in that Vikings offensive system, you're going to score points. So maybe that's,
say that.
You want to be coached, you know.
That's true, but he's not going to really be playing unless you're going to sit down Sam Darnold. Well, you're going to bench Sam?
Well, right. No, well, if he goes to Miami, he's not going to be playing either unless Tua
gets
hurt.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think that's the right choice either. Wouldn't you rather go to Carolina? He played at Duke. I mean,
who knows if they would be interested, but he would have, I would think, other opportunities. Somebody, I saw a report, said 10 teams.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Yes, Sally's young and he's cheap and he's talented.
So why wouldn't he, I'm with you, why wouldn't he want to go somewhere where he could play as opposed to going to win?
I don't know.
As a backup? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, let me ask you a question, okay? So if you go through the league, the teams right now that are in the playoffs hunt and have their backup quarterbacks, for example, the Eagles. I know that Saquon's over there, but like, Kenny Pickett, is Daniel Jones better than Kenny Pickett?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I would think
Kenny, I think he is.
I think Kenny Pickett. I'd rather take my chance with Kenny Pickett.
Right, but if you're the Eagles and go, we have the opportunity to bring in somebody who has had success in the playoffs before, would you bring in Daniel Jones?
I mean, yes.
That's another team. I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
For entertainment purposes, I wish he went to the Cowboys. Obviously, that's not going to happen. Or the Eagles. Those would be the two best teams. For entertainment purposes.
How about the Jets?
Nah, no,
I was just drinking water there.
No, because I don't want to watch him.
You know, it's
good
funny.
Thing I wasn't drinking water. I'd spit it up. I mean,
It still might come up. I don't know.
Do it with Daniel Jones anymore. I don't want to see him with the Jets. I know you mentioned that a couple weeks ago.
I floated this a couple weeks ago, and I know that it sounds like I'm just looking to inflict further pain upon myself as a Jets fan.
Well, you floated the BT for next year as
Correct.
A stopgap, not for this year.
No, not for this year. No, I have no interest this year. But especially if the Jets were to hire an offensive mind, that I think could work with them a little bit, and maybe you draft that bridge quarterback, or maybe you see if you can, I don't know, find a way to tap into something that Jones, I don't, again, it matters because he's cheap. He's going to be cheap moving forward. I mean, the best backups, Drew Lock's making five. Tyrod Taylor made, what was it, 16 over 2 years, so $8 million a pop. The going rate for a backup is between $5, $8, $9 million tops.
And you're going to get him for the minimum.
Well, for this year, you will. Yeah. Now, next year, he'll get that decent. And if I'm him, I'm not taking a two-year deal. I'm taking a one-year deal. There's no way I'm taking 2 years. I'll take one. And hopefully I'll get some burn, and I'll put up some decent numbers, and then I'm 28 and a half or so, and I'm hitting the open market.
All right, let's get back to some of the calls here. 888-808-1019. Vernon calling from Newark, New Jersey. What's up, Vernon?
Hey, how you doing today? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it. What's
you
up?
Got it, bud.
I got a couple of things. I think, I'm a Giants fan, I think they should go ahead and try to win now and do what the Rams did. The Rams GM, when he just bought in Stafford. I'm not trying to say bring Stafford to the Giants, but we need to win now. I wouldn't mind seeing Rex Ryan. I like Rex Ryan. I wouldn't mind seeing him, and I know he loves the Jets, but I think I wouldn't be surprised.
What are we doing?
No, I know it sounds crazy.
Vernon, I don't know if you could come up with, and we do appreciate
come
the call.
Come on, Vern.
I don't know if you could come up with a worse name for the Giants to hire. Like, if I'm them, it's any for the Jets, it's a little different because of his
not
relationship.
Not for me, it's not,
no,
but I hear you.
But at least the relationship with Woody, the history there.
Yeah.
No way should the Giants ever consider Rex. Like, no. No way. I'd rather have Dable for the next 15 years than I'd rather have Rex building this thing.
And
Rex
was on the begging circuit again this morning, groveling on the air. It's getting pathetic at this point. Honestly,
you're
I said
right.
That.
It's been pathetic.
Come on,
but
dude,
now,
we know you want the job.
Yeah, but think about how, come on.
He's begging.
I know. It's just Rex, like, let it go. We all know. There's no need to continue the begging for the job.
There's enough people in the media who are going to carry your mail. You know, they know that because it's their job to follow what you're saying because they cover the Jets. And I don't mean just write, you know, maybe carry the mails. I'm not trying to impugn the integrity of Jet B. I think they do a great job. I didn't mean it that way. But they're going to react to what you say because their beat is the Jets. And they know that that's going to be interesting to Jet fans. So when you say something, like that, it's going to be out there. You don't have to keep saying it. I mean, he just did it last week. And literally this morning, all in again. Like, dude, give it up.
And of all these interviews, has anybody ever said, yeah, but Rex, you weren't good the first time. Like, I'd love somebody to say that to his face and see how he counters it. Well, we're going to go out there and tackle. We're going to do this. We're going to do Rex, you had your opportunity in New York and again in Buffalo. And guess what? You didn't do what you said you were going to do. We saw it. Year after, you said you weren't going to come here to kiss Bill Belichick's rings and you do this and Super Bowl. We're going to win Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. You didn't get to a Super Bowl. So I don't want to hear it. You took Mangini's teams to back-to-back AFC championship games, which you lost, by the way. I know the Jets' history isn't great, but getting to a championship game is not the be-all, end-all. I don't care if it's back-to-back or not. You didn't win one. You didn't even get to a Super Bowl, let alone win one. And your team got progressively worse. You talked a big game. You backstabbed other head coaches with jobs intact. You know, come on.
Yep.
Enough with Rex. Somebody's got to challenge him on this, at least. I like his personality. I think he's good on TV. And I loved when he was coaching initially because of all he said. But, like, Rex, you got to have a little dose of reality.
Yeah, he's got to understand that his resume is not nearly as impressive as he thinks. Now, doesn't mean we're not grateful for it. Doesn't mean some people aren't interested in Rex 2-0. I'm not, but I know some people are.
And I'd be more open to it only because of the relationship with Woody, feeling like maybe Rex, like, it depends on who they have available to them. If they don't have any other good options, then maybe I would be okay with.
Why wouldn't they have? You mean just because they preemptively say they're the candidates aren't interested in the Jets? Why wouldn't
correct,
they have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct. Like,
gotcha.
They can't get Ben Johnson.
Got it.
Grable's
like,
want
peace out.
Yeah.
Belichick's go screw yourself.
Yeah.
I got it.
You know what I mean? Maybe in that case, and if they kept things intact
well, then
with
I take
this
Gruden.
Team.
I want Gruden at that
point.
Well,
what if he says, I don't want to be here?
I don't think he's going to say that.
Well, then, yeah, that would be my number one choice.
And I don't even love Gruden over at this point, but I'll take him over Rex.
Pete is calling from Seaford. What's up, Pete?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Pete?
You know, I think we have to ask ourselves, what was the goal that Mara had when he's running Shane and Dable? It's a rhetorical question. He was looking for stability like his buddies in Pittsburgh have had for the last, you know, 60 years. He wants consistency and stability, but I think Mara is also very concerned with appearances as much as he is with winning. And with that stability I'm talking about, and when you have, even though we know that performance in sports is not transitive, right? Saquon and McKinney looking like, you know, Barry and Ed Reed, respectively, doesn't mean they would be doing that with the Giants.
I hear you.
But it's not helping, right?
No.
It's not helping the optics. And I think, to the point you guys made earlier, I think if they lay an egg, against a Cowboy team that's decimated and won as lucky a game as you could have yesterday afternoon, right? I mean, could not get more lucky to win that game. If you get embarrassed with every eyeball in the country watching you, I do think that that's it for Shannon Dable. I really do.
Might be. It really might be. I think that's a good call, Pete. And, you know, listen, Sal, if I said, what's the strength on paper? What's the strength of this Giants team? I remember what you and I were saying early in the year.
Yeah, it was the defense.
It was the pass rush, right?
It was the defense. I mean, Dexter.
In theory, you trade for Burns, you got Kayvon, you got Dexter Lawrence, right? That was pretty much the answer,
strength,
right?
The strength right now is one player. It's Dexter Lawrence. I really don't think it's anything beyond. I'm not saying that everybody else is worthless. I'm just saying that I can't identify a team strength at all.
Yeah, and I'm kind of there now, but just to almost go back to maybe one of the earlier phases of the conversation, I think we both pretty quickly said the pass rush. Defense
right.
has a chance
the
to
defense,
be okay.
Right.
The Baker mate, was he even remotely challenged
yesterday?
The defense
stinks, BT. I'm sorry, but it stinks.
It wasn't even remotely challenged. Gross.
And they have players. They have individual players. Burns was an impact player with Carolina.
Yeah.
The Kayvon Thibodeaux supposed to be an impact player. I know he came back.
He got
whatever.
Back, yeah.
He was banged up. Dexter Lawrence is arguably the best defensive player in the league.
Yeah. They're one of them. He's terrific.
I mean.
Maybe you trade him.
Okereke was.
Maybe you trade him.
You know, I mean.
To start over.
Well, I mean,
every time I say, that's why when I say, you know, the Jets should be open to trading Gardner or
Garrett.
You know, hey, Garrett, to a little bit of a lesser extent, but, you know, Breece Hall, like, I'm of the mindset, if you can't win with what you have, now you could also say maybe another coach will enable you to win with what
Jets,
you have.
Yes.
Understood. But there's also big contracts that are a year down the road, so I'm incorporating everything. But if you can't win with what you have, at least, bare bones minimum, at least explore winning without them.
Yeah, and the Giants way has not worked. Steve is calling from Tavares, Florida. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Thanks for taking the call.
All right, Steve. Steve, where is Tavares? Where is that?
It's about 40 minutes northeast of Orlando.
I got you.
In central Florida.
Okay, gotcha.
So, just something that drives me crazy, and this isn't just a Giants thing. This seems to be around the NFL. It's just when these teams are hiring head coaches these days, it just seems like it's always, we need to go out and get an offensive guy or get a guy who can groom a young quarterback, and half these coaches it seems around the league are calling plays now. What happened to just hiring a guy who can be a good head coach? It doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah. There's so many layers to it now, Steve. It's such a basic question, but it's proven so evasive, certainly for these two teams and for a lot of teams. Like, the checklist back in the day was, all right, what's he best at? Like Walsh with his offense or Parcells. Early, nobody knew what Parcells was. But Belichick had a defensive background. You know, and then it's like, all right, can he command the room? Can he lead men? Everything else was, I don't want to say secondary. What was he best at, and would the guys follow him? Now it's like there's 13 things on the list, and it's like we're getting further and further away from what matters.
Yeah, and they're all just looking for a quick fix, the next bright offensive mind. The league has changed, though. It's evolved. Look, Giants made a mistake. I brought his name up last week with the Jets. Giants made a mistake. They had a chance to hire Mike Smith, and they chose not to. He was a good head coach, a proven head coach, one to instill discipline. His teams were one of the least penalized teams in the league when he was running the Atlanta Falcons for years. Then everybody said, he couldn't get over the hump and win a Super Bowl. Okay, fine, but neither could Andy Reid for the longest time until he did. And then you saw it. I'm not saying Mike Smith was going to be that level because he wasn't offensive mind the way Andy Reid certainly is, but he was a solid head coach, and they've been chasing their tail ever since. And now, like, where do you go? There aren't even any good answers. Jim Harbaugh was another one. He was the best example for both the Jets and the Giants.
We said it.
I begged and screamed for years, not even just this year when he was available, but before that.
I know.
For years, and nobody, for whatever reason, they want to hire him.
See, I do think there's one great answer, and you just don't feel in the way I do. And that's Vrabel. I think Vrabel's terrific. I really do.
I think he's okay. He's an okay option. Great is definitely strong. Gruden, yes, but Gruden more for the Jets. And I don't think Gruden would be a good fit for the Giants.
Why not?
Do you?
See, I look at it this way. If you're a good fit for Team X, you should be a good fit for Team Y.
I think they're two totally different situations.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. But at the end of the day, it's the same situation. They both suck. So really, there's the commonality.
Yeah.
You stink and you stink. Yeah. Can you help us not stink?
Fair enough. I mean, either way, they're both eventually, whether it's this year, 2 years, 3 years down the road, they need to be built up.
God,
Giants, though, you would think sooner than later. back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. This is the number to call on this Thanksgiving week Monday. Man, we have a short week and a jam-packed week for you as we move along ahead of Thursday's Thanksgiving game. Giants, Cowboys, of course, you get the Lions and Bears before that. Who's the Thursday night game? Dolphins, Packers, or is that Christmas? What am I getting mixed up?
There's also the prime game on Friday at 3. Who's the night game? It's a good venue.
I had it up. I don't have it in front of me either. Yeah, like an idiot. I had the Thursday game. Anyway, point is, it is the Packers and Dolphins. I was right. One of those teams plays on Christmas, I believe. Anyway, Packers, Dolphins, Thursday night, round that out. A full day of football fun, unless, of course, you're a Giant fan. Sometimes it's more than just the results, or more than just your belief. It's also circumstance. And the circumstance that the Giants are in, for whatever reason, like you always say, hey, no need to look back. Let's just move ahead.
Yeah.
Like, look forward now. The damage is done, whether it's Saquon, whether it's keeping Daniel Jones. But the circumstance that they're in right now almost screams new regime.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other. It's either because they need a quarterback. Why would you want to go with a young new quarterback with this regime,
yeah,
based off of what you've seen through 3 years so far? And then because if once you get the new quarterback, that buys you at least another 2-3 years, no?
It does in theory. I mean, there's been certain situations elsewhere where, you know, self-sabotage has led to, you know, what was thought to be a conventional 3-year window.
Yeah.
That's cut short. So I would never say that it's always like that. But yeah, conventionally speaking, I mean, listen, here's the thing. I said this in the first hour to Sal. You know, the Giants offense, even when they win championships, you go back to both with Parcells, right, and both with Coughlin, generally spearheaded by the defense and some amazingly clutch throws by Eli and Sims and Hostetler in the second one. So, and some kicking, you know, like just a well-oiled overall team, but not like some amazing offensive juggernaut. So the Giants have had a lot of lackluster offenses over the years. This year is their worst offense per points per game in 25 years. So that's number one. Mm. So that right away tells you whatever we thought Dable could do to the offense, it hasn't happened yet, all right? And then the other thing, well, what about the year they made the play? Because you're going to get that. Well, yeah, they had a great first year. I understand that. Their quarterback threw 15 touchdown passes, and even that team was winning counter to, I think, how we thought they would win with Dable as an offensive mind. He just hasn't brought the offensive juice. That's all there is to it, man. It hasn't happened.
I'm sorry, BT, to cut you off. And by the way, this year, there is no excuse. Like, year one, it's year one, and they had some success. Year two, you could say, well, they were banged up, whether it's Thomas, whether it's Daniel Jones. I don't want to hear Thomas is out again. Like, it is what it is. It's like Mitchell Robinson. If he's going to be out, figure it out. Other teams have injuries, have had more significant injuries,
yeah,
and they've still been able to be competitive. What's the excuse? Like, this has been Dable's worst year by far.
I agree.
By far. First year, great coaching job. Taking something that the prior regime couldn't turn into anything positive, got them to the playoffs and won a playoff game. Excellent coaching job.
Mm-hmm.
Year two, even to a certain extent, salvaging what was an otherwise lost year, disastrous year, and salvaging it to a certain extent, people ticked off because they got a better, you know, didn't have the better draft pick, whatever it may be. But still, I thought did an okay job keeping the team together in the end and coaching them up. This year, there is no excuse. They have had better talent all over the place. Their quarterback was healthy, and they are awful and have been awful through the first 11 weeks. So, I mean, and it's not just one bad year, but this is by far the worst year with Brian Dable.
It's morphed into something that is disastrous at this point. And, you know, you don't like to do this because, you know, like we don't, it's almost not fair, but I do think it's a bit of a deeper dive because when you reference 2022, you have to give it the credit that it earned. But, you know, Giants, going into the season, their strength of schedule was fourth easiest. Now, what does that always mean? Well, look at week one this year. We didn't think the Vikings would be that good. What are they, 8 or 9?
Yeah.
9-2, I think it is. I think they're 9-2 now. So,
yes.
Not that always leads you down the proper path, but, you know, coming into the season, the Giants had a lot of teams up there that weren't supposed to be very good, and that's kind of the way it played out. Carolina wasn't good. A lot of teams they beat weren't that good, and a lot of the good teams that they did play rolled them.
It should not have been this bad by any stretch of the imagination. Pete is calling from Bayside. What's up, Pete?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Pete.
I agree with a lot of things you just said. Just listening, I could say so many things. I want to say three quick things. One is a statement. Gable, Shane, they have to go. Bottom line, that's it. I would love to see Vrabel.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Money Crimes is a podcast all about the dark side of finance and sometimes murder. Find Money Crimes on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
I think it would go great with the Giants. But another thing is Belichick wants to do it. He started off with the Giants and he knows them and they know him and he would control the team. So that's just a quick thing. I want to bring up something that no one brought up before.
Go ahead.
These plays that I don't know if Gable's calling them, whoever's calling them, were ridiculous.
Yeah. Gable, yeah. He is.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. To do 4th-and-1 on their own 38 early in the game when they didn't throw at all yet, everyone knew what was happening. I mean, everyone watching it, everyone at the game, everyone on TV. Yeah. It was the most ridiculous thing to put them in that position that early. You had no chance. And then the other thing is that reverse play was ridiculous too.
Yeah, but
you
think
ran
about
the ball
this.
Six times.
Pete, think about this. Didn't he did this? Was it 4th-and-1 or whatever? 4th-and-1 yeah. whatever in Cleveland
yes.
with Malik Nabers, and it worked.
Yes,
and
I didn't have a problem with him going for
no,
it. I mean,
no.
The play call itself, maybe.
Me neither.
But
my thing is like, and I remember seeing this with Kotite and some other. Coach is like, where it's one thing if you're going to lose and you're not even aggressive, at least Dable pushes it a little bit. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to try flea flicker. I don't love flea flickers on third down with a yard to go, but the play was there, so it was actually a good play. Just you didn't pull the trigger. We can get down the rabbit hole of what's wrong with the Giants. I think the shorter conversation is what's right with
yeah,
the Giants.
And that's a great way to put it, BT, because that was going to be my counter anyway. Like, yeah, okay, let's say that it was the play calling. You don't like that, going for a fourth down, whatever. You don't like the quarterback play. What about the defense? The defense stinks. I can't watch it anymore. Good God, with all these players here, like, they don't do anything well as a team. They get embarrassed every week. Same thing. Doesn't matter who they're playing. Come on. There's no consistency either. Like, if they were competitive in Pittsburgh, and they were, If they played that same way against the Panthers, they would have beaten the Panthers. Mm-hmm. It's why a lot of people picked the Giants to beat the Panthers. We're assuming, well, okay, well, they were competitive against a good team. If they play like that against a bad team, they're going to win. And maybe give the Panthers more credit. We saw what they did yesterday against Kansas City, whatever. Point is, they're so inconsistent at times, and then other times just flat out awful in every facet of the game. What do they do well? Special teams been atrocious. The lack of effort, the tackling has been atrocious. Defense overall atrocious. They don't run the football well enough to have that maintained throughout the course of a game. They get zero in the passing game every week. Minimum first half is like, wow, they got 9 yards today. Holy cow, they've done it. Like, they stink.
That's why I said the quicker conversation is to just present what they do well. There's not many things, to your point. You know, I think, now they're playing Thursday, and the players will be made available to the media earlier than a conventional week. Don't you think we should hear today one of the team leaders, Dexter Lawrence, whomever else it might be, I'm not even sure at this point, kind of step up and have Dable's back? Like, don't you
think that would be nice?
Like, if the questions are presented, and we carried Dable's press conference, and some of the questions were very pointed, he deflected, you know, I got to look at the tape, blah, blah, blah. I didn't really say a whole lot, but I thought the reporters did a good job. If the reporters are on point, I think they will be, with the players, don't you think somebody should present it to, you know, somebody that has kind of known respect in the locker room? Hey, guy, you know, I'm going to use Dex. Hey, Dex, you know, I know it's been a little rough around here the last couple of years, but, you know, the word soft has been thrown around, and, you know, now there's been an implication that maybe a young kid's young player doesn't respect the play calling, and that's the head coach. Do you guys still believe in the guy? Like, just straight up ask him, because I think if you ask a core player or two that, we will get the answer, the last answer that we need. If there's lukewarm response, tells you one thing. If there is an adamant pushback, like, hey, listen, Dable is the guy for us. We have to be better. We believe in Dabes, and we have his back, and which I don't know if you'll get that, but if you don't get that, doesn't that kind of tell you something?
But don't you believe, because we haven't gotten that yet from anybody, and it seems week in, week out, they all keep questioning the organization or the head coach directly?
Yeah, that it's not there. But it hasn't been as bad as it was yesterday. The scoreboard, the sound.
But they all said the same thing. We were soft. We played like that. Literally, that's Burns' quote.
Yeah, but that was yesterday. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so I think if there's ever a time to circle back to that. Like, yeah, we had Banks, you know, half-assed, and we had Neighbors, you know, hanging out with Jaden Daniels during the Commanders game. Things that we've talked about selectively during the year. But yesterday, the piling on was so noticeable. Today's the day to ask that question.
Hey, best we could do is ask Illuminor about it tomorrow. So, yeah. I mean, he comes on with us.
He said some stuff, too.
Well, correct. He questioned the effort.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we could ask him. We could only ask the question, see how they answer it. But I think it's something that you should have heard already by now. And unfortunately, we haven't heard it.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, here you have a call of the day. John is on Staten Island. What's up, John?
Listen, look, Mara got to stay the course. You know, if he cleans house, that's just more of the same dysfunction. You hired these guys to do a job, and you got to remember, when Shane and Daboll took over, they had a bad cap situation. They had a bad quarterback. They had no players, and they took us to the playoffs. What they need to do is stay the course, draft a young quarterback. You even can pick up a bridge quarterback, and then you're going to have a lot of money under the cap. You can bring in veterans. You can fortify your line on defense and on offense, and then you go from there. You cannot clean house again, because guess what's going to happen? They're not going to take a quarterback, whoever the next regime is, because they're going to try to get rid of all the Shane and Daboll guys. So then now we're going to be at square one again. And that's the same dysfunction.
Well, I'll tell you what, by the way, but John, let me jump in for a sec. John, I think what you do is, I think you can't tell the new coach who to draft, but I think if you do go in a new direction, you've got to get common ground and say, hey, we need to find our franchise quarterback. Are you open to drafting a kid in the top three? Like, and if Belichick or if Rabel says, no, I want to do this, then maybe you've got to reconsider if they're right for the job.
I see what you're saying, BT, but here's the pushback on that.
Uh-huh.
That's the same thing that the mandate they gave to Shane and Daboll with Jones. You dictated who's the quarterback.
Yep.
So you can't do that. It's just dysfunction all over again. Look, just stay the course. I know the fans are upset. You put too much value in DeVito. He is what he is. Let's just tank. Let him be the tank commander for the rest of the season. Stay the course.
And, John, let me just ask you, because I think you've been a great call, and I give you credit for being strong on that. I wish I could today be as strong as you are on that. Would you be willing to commit to Shane and Dable beyond next year?
Yes.
Well,
you
have to. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You have to. And that's the call of the day. Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey. And by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. And he was right in the sense that if you're going to stick with this regime, BT, or you believe in Shane and Dable, it can't just be, well, wait and see what they do next year and year four. And I guess that's another way to say it. Like, normally you'd evaluate head coach, GM by, okay, year three, where are they at, year four, and then you make your decision. Well, in this circumstance, because they need a quarterback, how could you possibly evaluate them next year then? If you're sticking with them, it's got to be with the thought process beyond just year four with Shane and Dave.
Yeah, there's no way I'm doing that. Would you like to hear a tweet from Mama Neighbors, who has tweeted a little something here?
Yeah.
Nothing too bad, but, you know.
She questioned the play calling as well?
All she wrote 2 hours ago, standing on business, and business is in caps.
Huh?
Yeah, standing up. So I guess you're just back in what
Malik
said.
Can you translate that for me? Well, I don't even know what that means.
It's showing like firmness or confidence in the job or.
Standing on business?
That's all she wrote. Standing on business with 1, 2, 4 big red exclamation points. Business is in all caps. Standing on is not.
Standing on business.
Standing on business is an idiom that means to be committed to your responsibilities and values and to act accordingly. It also means to put your money where your mouth is or follow through with what you're saying you're going to do. Another one, the phrase standing on business is all about being firm, confident, and serious about your goals or actions. That's what I said. Yeah, I mean, unless there's just a hidden meaning there that I'm
now,
not sure about.
Why? Who has this? Like, how would you even see this? Who would even know that his mom was on social media?
How did I see this? Oh, you know what? You know what it is? So you know how on X it says for you and then following?
It popped up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Malik Neighbor's mom? And here we go again. Zach Wilson's mom? Malik Neighbor? Like, I got
Eli Apple's mom?
Yeah.
Remember that when he was first drafted?
Yes.
I mean, listen, I don't want to make... I don't love when parents weigh in. I don't. They're not kids. I mean, you know, I remember one time my mom ran on the field. I was like 10. She ripped somebody's head off. I was hurt. It was a long story, but I was 10 or maybe 9. I mean, that's one thing. Oh, you should have seen her.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. That's the Italian half, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that is the Italian half. Yeah. But, you know, I'm not a 22-year-old wide receiver for the Giants or the Jets. It's
and making millions of dollars as a professional.
It's
like,
a job.
Yeah. Yeah, I would. If I were the player in that spot, I'd tell the parent, hey.
Me too.
Back off.
So would I. Well, that goes back to Lonzo and the Melo Ball.
Yeah.
Really right, think about it.
Wow. Whatever happened to him? LeVar? Is it LeVar?
LeVar's just kind of, he just kind of shifted back into the, I don't know.
Yeah, the abyss, luckily. Oh, I mean, rich abyss, but.
I don't know how much money he made. Well, I mean, his sons are rich, obviously, of course.
I'm sure he got a portion of that. No, wasn't he their manager or something?
Those sneakers were awful. Remember those sneakers that came out? It was just, I don't know. I mean, he was an interesting guy for a minute. I interviewed him once. He was nuts.
That was a bad time for society. All right, let's finish up on the phones here. 888-808-1019. EJ is in East Meadow, New York. What's up, EJ?
I remember East Meadow Little League. I got into a scrap, and my mom was the first one on the field as an African American man. So I just want to tell you that real quick.
How old were you, EJ?
I was 13. 13.
Yeah, Little League is the key, though. I mean, same thing.
No. I know. I just thought it was funny. real quick, though. All right, BT, I love you, man. I've been with you since the other station. I love both of you guys, and I listen to you guys religiously.
Thank you.
Thanks,
we went from unkillable to kill to no Aaron Rodgers. Like, we don't want him back. And
yeah,
we're open to changing your mind. So just because are you open to change? You're saying that if we break based off of who the coach is next time?
Well, I did say, I'm going to answer you directly, EJ. It's a fair question, man. I did say last week, well, I'm done with Rodgers. I did leave the door slightly open. If it's a Belichick or a Gruden or a Vrabel and they want Rodgers, that, of course, I'm going to defer because, you know, what they forgot about football, I'll never know. All right, so number one. Number two, you know, and I don't know, like the unkillable thing, that's more of like, no matter what you do to us, we're coming back for more.
Yeah.
Like, we're just, that's how we are. So, I mean, but here we are talking about the next coach and who the GM's going to be and who they should draft. So, just plow forward, man. It's all you can do.
So, and now I'll hang up right after this. Why does it have to be like kind of IHOP flip flop pancake aspect. I don't think bringing Rodgers back with a new brand new coach doesn't do anything to change the overall things, you know, that are going on with the Jets specifically.
Yep.
And I'm trying to figure out where that's coming from.
EJ, I pretty much agree with you. That's why. Thanks for the call, man. That's why I base my 99.9% of my thoughts and convictions about what the Jets should do with what you just said. Even if they win 10 games next year with Rodgers and, you know, the pipe dream, I'm sure. But if, like, it happened, then, all right, well, then where do you go the next year? He's 42. I mean, how far are we pushing this downstream? You know, I would like to get the inner fat. Like, I'd like to lift up the hood once of the Jets and actually see a humming, not dusty, not broken, not leaky valve. You know, like, just something that represents... I could take this thing on the highway, you know, for 5 hours without having to pull over because the thing's going to blow up on me. That, you know, so that's really where I'm at.
You need to see, you know, an engine.
Yeah, that'd be nice. You know, and I thought that he was going to be the engine to change because I thought that he would be enough of, you know, like, it's just his experiences, like his sheer will, and I was wrong. I mean, you know, we all were wrong. I really thought, here's what I oversold with Rodgers. His ability to inspire the rest of the room. They just didn't follow him.
See, but I don't think that's on him. I think that's on them, and that's a big problem. So I'm going to stick with, and forget the unkillable stuff, like that's emotion and different. I think it is different when you talk about Rodgers. You've been clear that you don't want him back, but there are circumstances, like I want him back, but if Gruden or Belichick came here and said, I don't want Rodgers, then I defer to them. What I don't want to happen is Woody Johnson to make the decision now about Aaron Rodgers. What I didn't want to happen was Rodgers to again control things, whether it's Ulbrich being back or Joe Douglas being back. No, I want Rodgers back as the quarterback of my football team next year with the real head coach that's going to get these guys in order and having them play hard, because either way, they're going to need a stopgap quarterback. And I still believe Aaron Rodgers has some good football left in him. That's why. Now, I get that this spot may be so toxic and so dysfunctional that they have no choice but to move on. But I think ideally the Jets will be making a mistake pushing Rodgers out the door before you even know who's in here next year.
Yeah, and I understand that. That's why I say, you know, listen, if he starts flashing these final four, five, six games, if he plays that much, which, by the way, I don't think he will, and the new coach comes in and says, yeah, that guy can still play, hey, that's where I'm going to acquiesce to people who know more about football than me. But in terms of a stopgap, I'd rather take somebody a lot cheaper and a lot more mobile and then just draft somebody and move forward.
Pablo's calling from Dover, New Jersey. What's up, Pablo?
BT Sal, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Good, Pablo. What's up?
What's happening, buddy?
Not much. Here suffering with the Giants, man. Calling in, I'll be quick. I'm someone who, up until literally last week, was big pro Dable, pro Shaney, until you take a step back and realize Dable, as a coach, fundamentally, he lost the locker room. Yesterday was 100% effort. It wasn't anything else. And as a coach, you cannot survive. And now with Shane, it's difficult as a fan to have him with, we're going to have the most important draft pick next draft over the last 10 years. And he has not, listen, neighbors, it's still too early to tell, but if you take a step back, you look at his drafts, he's missed on the draft. This offseason, he's built the defense. The defense was supposed to be the significant improvement. Like you guys mentioned, there's nothing to write home about this team. He's invested via the draft. He's invested via trade. I don't trust him anymore. As a fan, I don't understand how you're going to give him this important draft pick. The last GM who had it was Gettleman. It is what it is. The results are there. He's had enough time where we can see some marginal improvement. You have to rip it up and start over.
Yeah. I can't argue with that, Pablo. Unfortunately, for the Giants, because of... It should actually make the decision easier for them. Knowing that you have to either commit to this regime beyond just next year or blow it up now, I think the decision should become easier, saying that blow it up now. And that's me. I've been a Shane and Dable supporter.
You have been.
More so Dable. But if you just think about it, logically speaking, I don't want to have everything off schedule again. Meaning have this regime draft a new young quarterback. And then what? If it doesn't go well in year four, they're going to fire those guys and hire a new regime that's going to be stuck with this quarterback. No. Mm-hmm. You can't do that either. I mean, you're going to tell me you're going to go into year four and not have the future quarterback and then just see what Shane and Dable do? Like, why? We're wasting time then.
Here's one thing I also know. They have no culture. And when you're, you know, third year into it and the culture has not rooted yet, I think it's very fair to think that it's not going to ever root.
Ryan,
they have no culture.
Ryan is calling from Stony Point. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm going to keep this quick. I'm walking into class. But
where do you go, Rye? Where do you go?
I go to SUNY Cortland.
Nice. Oh, there you go.
Hey, where the Jets used to train. Yeah. They used to go up there.
Yeah, it's awesome up there.
Yep.
And I've been really paying attention to this the last, like, month and a half. And what's killing the Giants, especially on defense, they don't tackle good at all. Everyone goes high. No one goes low. And you look at, like, Bucky Irvin. He's getting all these broken tackles yesterday. Everyone's going high. It's one hit up high. He shakes him off. He goes for another 10 yards. No one wraps up low. That's what I've been noticing. It's just been bothering me.
Well, Ryan, I don't think the Giants are alone in that regard. The Jets do that as well. Thanks for the call. And go mixing that school work. That a boy?
Good luck. Yeah, good luck in class. We have a couple of close. Some of my best friends went there. I've been up there a couple of times visiting. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. We know what the issues are. How come it's not getting fixed? Tackling should be the easiest thing to fix. Whether it's Olbrich, whether it's Dable, how are you not getting your defensive players to tackle? Is that a lack of effort? Is it tuning out the coach? It is business. I don't know the issue, but I know that it's got to be fixed, and neither guy in place in town has been able to fix it.
I think it starts with, and I'm going to stay in my lane here because it's a lot tougher than we make it out to be. I think it starts with a lack of urgency. When you're not urgent to the ball, suddenly, the mechanics of wrapping up, that's kind of optional, and then you just have a loose ship, and you're whiffing on 10, 12 tackles a game. Bottom line.
Unacceptable. The football's been awful around here, and it doesn't seem like it's going to get better anytime soon.
Gross.
All right, that does it for us. Thanks, everybody who listened and everybody who called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dope. Thanks to Hoff as well. Be back again tomorrow. Short week, so you want to stay locked in on the Fan. 10 a.m. tomorrow. BT and I'll be with you. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.